So now we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 3, continuing our study on heroes of the faith. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and Samuel's first prophecy. Beth and I were talking this afternoon, and she reminded me of something, and I've been thinking about it, and it's one of those occasions where your wife says something, you back up and say, "Wow, you know, you're right." I knew that was coming. Men, do you ever do that? I mean, am I the only one? But you know, we were talking, and she had mentioned, we're studying heroes of the faith on Sunday evening. We've had several of our preachers in our congregation who have filled in or who have come and made presentations. And, you know, we look at heroes of the faith, and the first thing that comes to our mind are men of the Bible. Do you know why God didn't quit making heroes when he completed the Bible? He didn't quit making heroes of faith. There are still great people of faith in our world today. There are people of faith, great people of faith in this church. People who are making a difference. As Brother Lance got up, Brother Michael got up, they're heroes of faith. Examples. Men willing to go out of their way for the honor and the glory of God. And they're not the only ones. We have seniors in our group. Brother Roach, bless his heart. You know, just God bless him. So as we study these heroes of faith, I don't want us to get this idea of, well, these are all Bible heroes. God didn't stop making heroes. And what I want to challenge us to do is be heroes today. Heroes of faith today. Tonight we're going to look at Samuel's first prophecy, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious word of God? Verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' And he said, 'I did not call you. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down again. Then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you call me.' And he answered, 'I did not call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel, and again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.' So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother David Ivey, would you word our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. The message tonight is a message or a lesson in faithfulness. That's what this whole thing is, the first thing that comes to my mind. And the first thing that comes to my mind is when God's man refuses to be faithful, God often replaces him with the man that will be faithful. God is always long-suffering. God is always patient. But there comes a point where God says, that's enough. He replaced Moses with Joshua. He replaced Saul with David. And he put an end to the family of Levi as priests. And it was all because of their sin. Now, we start with God's call, or God speaks to the servant Samuel. In the first opening verse, verse 1, it says that the word of the Lord was rare. No word from God, basically. And the King James Version says the word of the Lord was precious. Now, the New King James Version that I read to you says that that the word of the Lord was rare. So which one's right? Well, actually, both of them's right. If you looked at the Hebrew, the Hebrew actually meant that it was very rare, but it was very precious or very highly valued. Okay? So when since it was so rare, when people heard something from God, the word from the Lord, it was important. They valued it. They listened to it. But there was a problem in this day. The problem was that at this particular time, there was no trustworthy men of God to lead the people. Okay? There was no prophet that they could consult about the will of God. And the only men that were the religious leaders of that time were basically three. There was Eli, who was the high priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Great men. But let me tell you the problem with these two great men. They were not at all trustworthy of the office that God had placed them in. Okay, as a matter of fact, if you go back and read chapter 2, it says in chapter 2 that these two men did not know the Lord. They were guilty, and it says in chapter 2, they were guilty of stealing sacrifices from the Lord. You see, they were supposed to receive part of the sacrifices under the law. However, when people would bring in sacrifices, they'd kind of inspect it. They'd just take what they wanted, completely contrary to the law. And folks, if they would rebel, they would, Hophni and Phinehas would basically say, listen, you can give it to us peaceably or we'll take it from you, but we will take this sacrifice for ourselves. They were guilty of seducing the women who would come into the tabernacle. I mean, they brought it to the point where people just literally hated making an offering to the Lord and hated religion. And here's the problem. See, Eli wasn't doing all these things. Eli, the high priest, he wasn't guilty of all this. However, he knew his two sons were involved in this. He knew what they were doing. And God warned him. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 29, God told Eli, he said, you honor your sons more than me. And that reminded me of responsibility. Our responsibility of where God has placed us to be faithful. You know, Eli did not do his sons justice. Those two sons. I mean, he failed his two sons. I kind of envision him as being one of those parents that loved their sons so much that he wouldn't correct them. Let me tell you something. You can love your kids, but if you don't correct them, you don't love them enough. All right? You have to guide children. And these obviously had no guidance from the very beginning because they grew up to be rascals. Eli had a responsibility toward his sons, and he failed in that responsibility. And you know what? Because of his failure in that responsibility of teaching his sons and correcting his sons never did come to know God. They never changed their ways. They never repented. They never found out what God was all about. As a matter of fact, that word know, when we talk about knowing God, we think of saved. That word know used in this context, he was talking about just knowing something about God. So when we say they didn't know God, they just didn't have a clue what God was about. And I do question their salvation also, but that's beside the point. Eli didn't do them justice. Eli didn't do God justice in his position by fulfilling his responsibilities. We're told, and he knew the law, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your... We missed that one. Oh, we just blew that one. We're told in the law that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, with all that we are. And obviously, Eli forgot why he was there. It became just letting his sons do what they want to do. That office that they were holding as priest was not an office for their son's benefit. It was for God's benefit. And listen. God always should come first. Always. I've heard people say, well, you know, my family should come first. Listen, if you put God first, you will not abuse your family. Okay? They will not do without. God's supposed to be first. And that's our responsibility. Finally, he didn't do himself justice. Eli didn't do himself justice. And you know why? Because the last thing we're going to remember about Eli is what? Is that he was unfaithful to his God. Oh, listen. Let our banner be God first. Let us fulfill our responsibilities. Let us always be faithful in every aspect of our lives, taking the stand as servants of God. Then we get to Samuel. That's kind of the picture of what religion was like in that day. Then we come to Samuel. Samuel's first time with God. His first communication, basically, with God. Verse 7 also says Samuel did not know the Lord. Now, once again, as it stands there in the context, Samuel didn't know how God worked. He didn't understand. I mean, you know, he had never had an experience with God like he's about to have now. Okay? Verse 1 says Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. He had been a young man that had been dedicated to the work of the Lord from before he was born. He had been given to Eli and to the ministry of the temple at the age of 8. He's been involved in all the right stuff. He's been serving and doing all the things he's supposed to do. However, he never had that experience of interaction with God. And this is the first time he gets a taste of that. And God calls. God calls Samuel. Now if you're sitting in, and I can just imagine he's it's at night, and it talks about it was before the flames in the tabernacle had been extinguished. In morning, those were extinguished. So it's just before daylight. Samuel's sleeping. And a voice calls, Samuel. Samuel. Samuel said, here I am. He gets up. He goes in and wakes up Eli. I said, Eli, you call me. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go to bed. I can just imagine, you know, Eli being the old fella, and he gets woken up in the middle of the night or just before dawn. Go to bed. Yeah. So he goes back, and he goes to sleep. And he hears his name called again, Samuel. So he gets up, and he goes back to Eli. Says, Eli, I'm here. Will you go to bed? Eli said, will you just go to bed? Three times he did that. Three times, he got the same answer. And then Samuel realizes the boy is hearing something. This is God that's calling his name. And he shares with Eli how to respond to God's call. He said, and I point out to you, he said, you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Listen, we're talking about faithfulness and unfaithfulness. If we're going to learn to be faithful, one thing we're going to have to learn is to learn how to listen. Okay? Oftentimes in our prayer life, you know, we go to God and, Lord, I need this. Lord, bless my family, bless my children, help me through this. I've got trouble, I need help financially, I'm sick, I need help. And we go on our list and we perceive that that's what a prayer life is about. I want to tell you, there's more to prayer life than that. Sometimes we just need to hush and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You ever do that? I think I've challenged you to do this before. Just sit down and say, Lord, I want to listen to you. Speak, Lord. Tell me something. And now, don't get me wrong. You're probably not going to hear an audible voice that says, Doug, I want you to. But I want to tell you what, God still speaks. He speaks to the heart of people who will approach Him wanting to hear from God. Now, I think that's a great problem in our lives today, is that we don't stop long enough to really think, I need to hear from God. You know, and if there's one thing that we do need, it is we need to hear from God. If we're going to be responsible, we need to know what direction our lives are supposed to be going. If we're going to be responsible and faithful, we need to know how to be good parents. If we're going to be faithful and responsible as church members, we need to know how. And the only way to know how is, well, actually there's two ways. Get in the Word of God. And second way, get on your knees and just say, God, speak, your servant's listening. Lord, I want to hear from you. Speak to me. God told Samuel, he said, I'm going to do something that when it's heard will make both ears of whoever hears it. And I like how he puts it. It will make both ears tingle. Now, I'm not sure tingle is a real good translation. In the Hebrew, it's a horrid sound. In the Greek, it's a gong. Literally, it's talking about a tremendous, hurtful noise. Have you ever, you know, been sitting somewhere and you heard a big crash or a big explosion and it just wakes you up? That's the kind of noise that God's talking about when He says it's going to tingle their ears. It's going to startle. They're not going to believe what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is beyond comprehension. I'm going to get this priestly family who's plaguing the kingdom of God, and I'm going to remove him. Like I said, God is patient. God is long-suffering. But something we need to be reminded of today is that there is a day of reckoning coming. It's just like the servants whom the master had given them one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talents. You remember how that two of them used theirs to gain, and there was one that was scared, so he buried his in the ground. One day, that master came back. I want to tell you, One day we're going to be held accountable for our faithfulness or lack of faithfulness. We will be held accountable. And I know in the world today that the popular view is just to preach, oh, God loves us and it doesn't matter what we do. And I understand. But you also have to, as you read the Bible, realize that there is judgment involved with a holy and just God. So Samuel receives this message. And this message was a message that foretold the destruction of Eli and his family. It foretold that their days are finished. And now Samuel is faced with a difficult decision. You see, God has shared all this with him. And the next morning, guess what Eli does? He does what anybody would do. He knows Samuel has spoken to God last night. He goes to Samuel and he says, Samuel, what'd God say? Samuel said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And he hem-hawed around and he didn't tell Eli the message, did he? No, that's not what he did. It says Samuel was afraid. And I want to tell you, a lot of times in being faithful to God is scary. Okay? Because you don't always know how things are going to turn out. But that does not dismiss you from responsibility. You see, this is Samuel's first opportunity of faithfulness. He hasn't known up till now how God works. He's never had a conversation up till now. And now, this is the first time he has to make a decision. Am I going to be faithful and am I going to share the message that God has given me to share? Eli says, if you don't tell me everything, may God do it to you and may he do a lot more of it to you. See, Eli knew what was coming. Eli knew that the judgment of God was coming. So Samuel tells everything. Of the destruction of Eli's family. Now I want you to understand, Eli was his guardian. This was not an easy task for him to do. And he shares with it. And if you want to find out what happens, you can read the next chapter. How that Israel goes to battle and they start losing against the Philistines. Hophni and Phinehas bring the Ark of the Covenant into where the battlefield. Anyway, ultimately, Hophni and Phinehas are killed. The Ark of the Covenant is taken by the enemy. The messenger comes back from war. And Eli is sitting outside the city in his chair. And Eli asks what happened. You know how the story ends. The messenger told him, your boys are dead. The Ark of the Covenant has been taken. And Eli fell off his chair and broke his neck. And that quick, in one day, the judgment of God visited that unfaithful family. Oh, listen, friends, it is important that we're faithful. But you know what is even more so encouraging, or what is encouraging here in this text, is how that God establishes his new servant, Samuel, the new prophet. Now, if you'll remember, in the beginning, we said that there was no open vision. See, there was nobody. Like I said, in the beginning, all that was left was the crooked family of Eli. Nobody to guide. And now, God establishes. Samuel has displayed a little faithfulness, and God establishes him as his servant. He established him, first of all, as none of his words fell to the ground. You see, everybody come to know Samuel for who he was and what he stood for. And everybody knew that if Samuel said it, you could take it to the bank. You know what you can figure out from this? The more faithful the child of God is, the more God will give him to be faithful with. Okay? The more faithful a child of God is, the more God will give you to be faithful with. I guess if you look at it, well, I don't want any more to do. Oh, I do. I want God to give me all I can handle. How about you? I want Him to work through me. I want Him to work with me. I want Him to use me to the very most I can possibly be used. None of His words fell to the ground. And then he got a reputation. A reputation. All knew. In verse 20, everybody knew Samuel had been established as a prophet of God. Let me ask you a question. You do, of course, realize that people watch you, right? You do, of course, realize that we all have a reputation, right? What is our reputation? You know, I have figured out that if God's men and God's women are faithful, we'll get a reputation of faithfulness. It makes sense, doesn't it? But if God's men and God's women are unfaithful, we also get a reputation. A reputation of unfaithfulness, of laziness as children of God, of unproductive church members. You see, what happened with Samuel is God had found a man that he could trust. And so God used him. Here's the question to close with. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? My friends, may we ever be faithful. Ever, in everything. You know, and not just church attendance. You know, certainly we should be in church every time the doors are open. Amen. Certainly we should be in church every time the doors are open. Amen. But you know, it goes way beyond that. It goes outside these walls. The people that we deal with each day. When's the last time that we shared Jesus Christ with someone? We have the greatest news that's in the world today. A news of a Savior. Do we share it? Do we take the stand? Instead of, you know, sometimes we don't want to make waves. You know, sometimes the stands that we take will introduce people to Jesus Christ. You know, I had mentioned before Eli. Eli refused to take a stand, and his sons never come to know God. May the world come to know God because of all our faithfulness. You may be here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to, number one, we want to give you a chance to be saved. Okay? You may be here tonight and your faithfulness has just fallen by the wayside. The good news is God's reminded you of this tonight and you can repent. Yeah? Whatever your spiritual need is, I just want to challenge you. Say yes to Jesus because God is always right. Always. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder of faithfulness that we all should be faithful. And Lord, we thank you for your patience and your long suffering. But keep us mindful that we're here to be used as your servants. We're here to be salt and light. We're here to make a difference in this world in which we live. May we ever be faithful. May we be determined such as never before to make a difference for your honor, for your glory. Use us, Lord, as it pleases you for your honor and glory. Now we pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.